Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. May God add his blessing to this reading and hearing of his own holy, inerrant, and infallible word. This is the word of God.
As Dr. Williams has already mentioned, you've been welcomed a lot, but never sufficiently. As goes our infinite need for love, so goes our infinite need to feel welcomed. So let me add my personal welcome to each and every single one of you. Welcome back, especially to you freshmen and transfers and new faculty and staff. You're here for the first time, so welcome. I say welcome back. We are glad you're here. Sophomores, you were such a big deal last year. Juniors, you're not sophomores. We love all of you, but there's an ascension in terms of the ranks, as we all know. You juniors are upperclassmen. Congratulations. And now the classes have officially begun. You are officially more than halfway through your Geneva journey. And may, by God's grace, this be the most blessed leg yet of that journey. Now, although you juniors have much upperclassmen glory, you pale before the brilliance of the seniors. We are seniors, seniors. We are over three quarters of the way done. I came in 3 years ago with you. At least you're over three quarters of the way done. I hope I have a little longer around here. Welcome to your final lap here at Geneva. And again, for you, may it be the most profoundly blessed, not only in terms of your journey at Geneva, but may it be the most profoundly blessed year of your life. Whoever you are in whatever strata of social significance you occupy here at Geneva, what's going on in your heart this morning? Are you excited, thrilled to be back with friends, hoping to make new ones? Are you tired of being a sophomore already? That'll be the last one, I promise. Are you homesick? Or maybe for some of you, you're sick of home. And here is a refuge, or at least an escape. As you're here, do you want to be known truly and deeply for who you really are? And yet at the same time, deep down, are you terrified of the exact same thing? Well, more than likely, especially in our comfy confines this morning, you're sitting next to someone who feels exactly the same way. There's a song that expresses very powerfully that nervousness about being new and that need to be compassionately mindful of the people who are surrounding us and right next to us. The song is called Heathens. It's by 21 Pilots. Here we go. And some of its lyrics are these. See if they apply. You'll never know the freak show sitting next to you. you'll have some weird people sitting next to you. Joel, amen?
Yeah.
It goes on. You'll think, how did I get here sitting next to you? But after all I've said, please don't forget, all my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know, and then the part that really hits the heart. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse. As we come together as a campus family, in all of our contexts, and here in chapel, which is really the biggest family gathering that we get to have regularly with one another, we never really do know what is going on in the heart of the person or the hearts of the people next to us. We just don't see into those depths. Sometimes we think we've got everybody figured out, or at least some people figured out, but let's be honest, we barely know our own hearts. It's our own hearts that are giving our brains fits and trying to make sense of them. But even those whom we do know best may be this morning nursing a quiet pain that would make us cry too. And so a general word of caution for us toward compassion as a community as we start this new year. Let's take it slow with one another. We tend to go to opposite extremes. Sometimes we speed up and we tell everything to everyone, or we come to a complete stop and we say nothing to anyone. Let's navigate the wise path between, and let's be cautious and compassionate with one another. Let's get to know and love one another one step at a time as we take our first few steps this year as the newest edition of a family that's been around for about 168. Please consider every chapel service a weekly family reunion. Some of us in here can really use that kind of support. And in a time of new and sometimes scary beginnings, all of us can use more of what will be the chapel theme for this year: courage. More specifically, courage in Christ. This semester, when I have the privilege of speaking to you in chapel, we'll be working our way through the Lord's Prayer, which we're already becoming familiar with during the first chapel. And you might think, well, what does prayer, and the Lord's Prayer in particular, have to do with courage? Hang on, we will get to that in just a bit. But this morning, we take just a glimpse at what comes before the Lord's Prayer. See, in the passage that President Trout read, Jesus assumes that those who are his disciples will be involved regularly in at least two things: giving to the needy and praying. Jesus does not say if you give to the needy, it's when you give to the needy. Nor does he say if you ever find time to pray, it's when you pray. And so if you name the name of Christ this morning, Jesus expects those of us who do to be giving out of that which God, out of that with which God has blessed us. To those who currently don't have those blessings, we are to have giving, generous hearts and to give with our hands. And so too with the regularity of prayer. Prayer as a habit of the heart, regularly, and to Jesus' point, privately. Again, it's not if you pray, it's when, or it could be translated whenever, which assumes that it happens a lot. The Lord does indeed call us to times of public prayer. We've already experienced one of those this morning. We continue to. But Jesus puts the emphasis here on prayer that is away from the public view. Now, even on a small campus, it can be hard to find times to be truly alone. And we could consult the life of Jesus about that. He was constantly surrounded by crowds. But Jesus, the holiest of souls, needed that alone time with his Father. And so often he would take it, and he would leave the rest, and he would go, and he would be with his Father in sincere, heartfelt prayer. Jesus needed that, how much more do we? But maybe back to some of the questions I asked you earlier. Maybe you're scared to be alone. Or at least to be alone when it's quiet. Why is that for you, if that's true? As you begin this year, here perhaps for the very first time, or back again, but dealing with certain circumstances for the first time, which as Dr. Ward mentioned, maybe it was a very painful summer. What's going on this morning in your heart, away from public scrutiny? Way down deep where the true you resides, where your memories of the past and your hopes for the future, where your dreams and your delusions and your desires all combine in your heart to form a show. And sometimes we feel like it's a freak show going on in here. We don't even know what's going on. And maybe that's why we sometimes don't like to be alone when it's quiet. Because that's when the freak show gets really scary. But it's in the secret place of the soul, in the deep heart, that's exactly where the true and living God wants to meet you and to bring you peace and to give you courage. See, the show going on inside of us, the one that no one else sees, and the one that we don't always understand ourselves, it's a show that is fully seen and understood fully by only one being, and that is God himself. God sees it all, and he gets it. He's had his eye upon you since long before you even recognized that you were you. And that's what we sang a few moments ago from Psalm 139. Listen to verses 15 and 16 again. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to me, And in our passage in Matthew, you can hear echoes of this ancient song. Jesus refers to God the Father as the one who sees in secret. Twice in just six verses, Jesus tells us the Father is the one who sees in secret. Jesus tells us that the Father is very interested in what goes on away from public notice. And that's exactly where he wants to meet with you. And it's exactly where he wants to hear from you. But if and when we do carve out that true alone quiet time, let's be honest, it can get kind of awkward, can't it? Just you and God there. Does it ever go something like this? Dear God, how about that weather? No, wait, you made the weather, that's not right. You're thinking about something to say, and you figure, okay, orientation week. When you talk to someone for the first time, you talk about your interests and your hobbies, what you've been interested in lately. So, dear God, are there any Pokemons up in heaven? And if so, can I have them first? Awkward all around. How do we get over that awkwardness? What do I say? Well, this might sound very counterproductive, but to help us overcome that awkwardness and sense of strangeness in prayer, we need to consider first how strange prayer really actually is. Think of it. What is prayer? Prayer, very simply, is talking to God. By the way, that's the name of a book written by Dr. Traub's father-in-law. Talking to God. Now think about that. 3 years ago when I was a freshman, so young, so naive, so beautiful, we thought together in chapel about the Bible and how in this culture we have such constant access to it if we want it. We're so close to it in a sense that we're so far away. It's like standing next to a skyscraper. If you're right up next to that skyscraper, that structure is not that impressive. But when you take a few steps back and you look up, it fills your entire field of vision. It maybe even looks like it's looming over you and threatening to collapse upon you, and you're unsteady, and your entire perception of reality is different now. And you begin to take into your soul the immensity of that structure which was so unimpressive just a few seconds ago. So it was, we thought about 3 years ago, and so it is with the Word of God. We have such access to it. But have we ever taken a few steps back in our soul to look up and to say, as Dr. Trout was saying to us earlier, this is the Word of God. Let's take a few steps back now in our souls to think about prayer. Prayer is talking to God. How do we approach a being like God? How do we say anything that would be of even the slightest interest to Him? It's like God asked in our responsive reading this morning from Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. And we can apply that to our words. What words, what sentences could we possibly construct that would be of interest to God? Much less impressive. You see, this is why Jesus in our passage tells us to not be like the people whom he calls hypocrites, who pray just for the spectacle of it. Do they really think, Jesus' words cause us to question, do they really think that their crowd-pleasing prayers impress God? If they do, but ironically, they have no idea who they're talking to. God is the one, as Augustine puts it, about whom nothing worthy can be said. And so, as we think about prayer, it's not just, well, what do we say to Him? But how dare we even talk to Him to begin with? But then, He speaks to us. Verse 2 of our responsive reading this morning. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word. The Holy Spirit has given us a whole book, which is God's Word. And this book tells us all about God's Son, Jesus Christ. How this Son of God, fully God, become fully man without giving up any of His Godhead, lived that life of perfect obedience, lived that blessed life about which we sang in Psalm 1. From the heart, loving and following God's law, because that's not naturally what we do. He lived that sinless life, and then He went to the cross to take upon Himself the sins and the guilt and the shame of all who would ever be brought to faith in Him. And so pleased was the Father with His Son's sacrifice that He raised Him from the dead on that third day. As Jesus, many days later, ascended back to heaven. He took His seat in His proper place, right beside the Father, ruler over all things, now as the God-man, and the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And if you're looking to Christ this morning as Lord and Savior, then according to Paul in Ephesians 1, you have every single spiritual blessing there is to have. And you have it through Him. And one of the most profound blessings you will ever have, and that you have, you know Christ or come to him is prayer. Prayer is a privilege purchased for you by the blood of Jesus Christ. So how precious must it be? And through Christ, and that's the only way to the Father, through Christ, you can talk to God not only as God, as Creator, as Master, and as all of those things, but as Jesus teaches us, through him, he is your Father. Augustine continues, "For God, although nothing worthy may be spoken of him, has accepted the tribute of the human voice and wished us to take joy in praising him with our words." Through Christ, God invites us to come to him and to talk to him. Now, hopefully that stirs something within our souls to want to do that. But again, the question comes up, but what do I say to a being such as this? In Luke 11, Jesus' followers ask him the same thing. They say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus responds with the Lord's Prayer, which we'll be exploring all throughout the semester. But the Holy Spirit gives us even more help than that. Scripture is full of real prayers, which can be prayed as they are or as guides. Some of those prayers are songs. Psalm 139, which we sang from today, is a prayer. So many of the other psalms are as well. It's part of why we sing them in chapel. You might say, okay, the psalms might be fine, but I need something more personal, more fit to me to praise God. They're great, but they don't always really express my personal heart toward God. Are you sure about that? Because if you know the Lord, you've been given a new heart. Your soul is now aimed in the direction of the Lord's Prayer, seeking him and his favor and his presence. You have a heart being made more and more like that of your Heavenly Father's unique Son, Jesus the Christ. And so now we're back to what's going on inside us and to the question, do you really know your own heart? If we know the Lord, don't we want our hearts to beat in accord with that of Jesus? Well, the Psalms are just that. Songs which express to us the life deep soul desires of the sinless Son of God. And don't worry about you and your unique personality being left off to the side, because there is nothing that you will ever feel in this life that is unexpressed in the Psalms as prayer and praise. There's a fullness there. It's not to say we can never pray with other words, not at all. But how beautiful is it if our deepest desire is to know and to have the heart of Jesus, to sing and to pray that which he did. One Bible teacher, whose son actually used to teach here at Geneva decades ago, put it this way. In the Psalms, the language of the Bible comes to meet the very thoughts of our hearts before these can even clothe themselves in language. And we recognize that we could not have expressed them better than the Spirit has expressed them for us. Our Lord himself, who had a perfect religious experience and lived and walked with God in absolute adjustment of his thoughts and desires to the Father's mind and will, our Lord himself found his inner life portrayed in the Psalms, and in some of the highest moments of his ministry, borrowed from it the language in which his soul spoke to God. If we know the Lord, we we get to know ourselves as we get to know the heart of Jesus. And when you go to God through his invincible Son, when God is your Father who wants to meet with you all the time, and when you can talk to him out of that undistracted depths of your being, when it's quiet and secret, when you have that kind of relationship to the true and living God, well, a couple of things. First, why would we ever seek the applause and the praise of other people? Jesus says, as you give secretly and as you pray secretly, your Father who is in secret will reward you. If we're rewarded by God, what do we need from anybody else? And one of those rewards, those blessings I mentioned earlier, which comes from our privately serving and seeking the Lord, is courage. Courage in Christ. You will find, as you give many of those quiet moments that, yes, it will be hard to carve out, but do it anyway. As you unload your heart before the Lord, he strengthens you. You're talking to the Almighty. And through Christ, you do so as one of his beloved sons or daughters. And Jesus tells us the Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. So when you have that kind of personal relationship to God, through his almighty risen Son, your heart being made more like his, even as you pray, here comes the courage. Because if that's your relationship to God, what do you have to fear from other people, including yourselves? We will, as a campus family, week by week, go together before God in prayer. But please, may this very day, and perhaps even this very hour, be the beginning of strong and renewed steps in private prayer. Pray in groups, pray together, pray in your dorms, pray in the offices, all of that. But do not neglect to take that quiet time with your Father, and to talk to him, and to hear from him. And in the process, we will become individually, and if we do it individually, we will become as a family and institutionally all the more like our blessed God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keeping with what we just thought about, we're gonna pray. Just before we do, Matt's gonna come up. And after I pray, he's going to let us know what we'll sing just before we're dismissed. So pray, then sing, and then dismissal. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we confess to you that there are times when we are so scared to be quiet and to be alone. And we thank you and we praise you that our Savior has said he will never leave us nor forsake us, and that the Holy Spirit has been sent from heaven to empower and indwell us, so we are never, ever truly alone. God, give us courage in those quiet moments to seek you when those whispers start within us. Please, O God, may we know your voice through your word to calm and to quiet us. And may we, with freed hearts and opened hearts, pour them out before you, our loving Heavenly Father, who, though we are never informing you in prayer, loves to hear from your children. Thank you for this gift of prayer. Please, may we take full and frequent advantage of that privilege purchased by your Son, individually and as a family. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
So last year we always closed with Psalm 117. This year it's different. We're changing it. That's how we roll. We're going to close with Psalm 72e, stanza 7. May his name endure forevermore. Please stand and sing.